Great to be with you once again, and as always, looking forward to our time together in the Word and spending this time, and glad that the whole family could join this morning. We have to get on, I think, a ferry pretty quick after the service, but whatever time we have, we'll look forward to spend it to the fullest with you all, and as we come together this morning and open His Word, we're going to be looking at Romans in chapter 15 this morning and grabbing a few verses. And let's start with a word of prayer, and then we'll dive right in. Let's pray. Lord, thank You that again today and every day Your mercies are new every morning, and that today, as You call us to live, we live in the knowledge that You are alive, that You are well, and that You are a part not only of this day but of every part of our lives, that today You are strength for the weak, that today You are wisdom for the foolish, that today You are a light in the darkness. And I pray again that today we would have hearts bowed low this morning and welcoming Your work, that again You would plant Your seeds within our heart, that You would grow the fruit of righteousness, that You would shape us and mold us and make us today in Your likeness. And so I thank You that in the midst of all that goes on around us, that this morning we can calm our hearts and minds, set the distractions aside, and listen to Your voice today. And I pray that we would grab hold of Your things and You alone in all things, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, and as we have been these last few Sundays, we've been building off of Romans chapter 12, in which we read these verses. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And as we've been spending this time together looking at those words, do not be conformed, but transformed, we've been jumping around these last few chapters in the book of Romans, looking at ways in which the world may in one way try to conform us, and yet in Christ, today we can be transformed. And as we spent our time last week, we looked at what it meant not to be takers, but become givers. To be transformed from selfish to selfless. And this morning, as we're going to pick up a few verses in chapter 15, we want to look at the fact that today, just as we can be transformed from selfish to selfless when we attach ourselves to a loving God, so too today we can become transformed from hopeless to hopeful. And today, and I don't know if you were like me this week, I often pick up the newspaper, click on the internet, and look at the current events, and often I find myself leaving utterly depressed. And in fact, often I would say these words, things seem utterly hopeless when you read what's going on. We live in a time in which there are mass shootings. We just prayed for one last weekend again at that synagogue, and in the week, it seemed to be that there were more attempts. And again, you look, and it seems like things are hopeless. We live in a time of political chaos, where people don't want to work together, but rather choose to tear each other down. And look no further than reading the news article itself or a political opinion and go to the comments below. And again, we've talked about how today in our internet culture, how when you hide behind the name XYZ123 and don't have to give your full identity, you can say whatever you want, can't you? And people use that freedom not for good, but for what? For destruction, tearing people down. And you look at the comments, you look at the dysfunction, the disorder, and it's despairing, hopeless. Then you read reports like the WWF, World Wildlife Foundation, not the WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment, which is just as fun. But listen, they come out with a report. Did anyone read it this week? 60% of animals gone in the last 40 years. Huge. You look at the world around us, and you look at that number, and what do you think? Where do you go from there? We're fighting about the world and the environment and all of these things, and then you look at that number and you think, wow, what it, turning off my car or dialing down my heat or my electricity, that's like a drop in the bucket when you look at that number and where the world is going, and you think these thoughts, wow, hopeless. That's the world we live in today. And yet, as Paul writes to this church in Rome, we're reminded of this: do not be conformed to this world, but today by the renewing of our minds, not hopeless. Today, we can be hopeful in the economy of Christ. It says this, and I'm going to read in Romans 15 and verse 1 and following. It says, "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification." And this is what we looked at last week, going from selfish, transformed to selfless, that we might be those who bear one another's burdens. It says this, reading on, 15 verse 3, "Even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another, according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus." You see, again, as we read these words, Paul's writing a divided group. Do you remember what we've been reading all this time in the book of Romans? Was salvation found through the Jews and the Jewish culture and the Jewish practice, or through faith in Jesus? Was salvation found through the Jews or through the Gentiles? It was found in one place, faith in Christ. And now, he says, and he's appealing to this, that through the God of perseverance and encouragement, grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ. That the same God, this one, verse 4, through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, might give you hope. You see, today, though there may be division of thought, opinion, conviction, which we've talked about in Romans, today there is hope for unity. That today, not hopeless, but hopeful, because in Christ, we can become one, united. The impossible is possible. The unachievable, achievable. And as he goes on, he talks about that very thing, that today, that through the root of Jesse, he who arises will rule over the Gentiles, and in him, the Gentiles will have hope. Again, Christ was coming to unite all under one. He goes on and says this in chapter 15, verse 13. "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. I have written you boldly, that on some points, so as to remind you again because of the grace that was given me from God." You see, today, Paul, as he writes, is reminding them that where there has been no common ground, today in Christ, there is what? Hope that there is common ground. Where there has been division, there is hope for unity, all because of who Christ is, and today, what Christ has done. Today, it is easy to be conformed to the hopelessness of this world, to see disunity, disharmony, to look around and see hurt. And yet, in Christ, there remains hope for healing. I'm reminded, as I have been through the week, of many things, many of which have been those through Scripture as we follow, that never lost hope. I think of Hebrews 11 and remember these words: faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it men of old gained approval. It says this in Hebrews 11 and verse 11, by faith even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life. For she considered him faithful who had promised. What did that tell you? As Abraham and Sarah were promised a child, even though she had grown past the age of childbearing, what had she never lost? Hope that the God who promised was what? Faithful to do so and able. It goes on in that same storyline, but in verses we've read in Romans in chapter 4. Listen to this and remember Romans 4 verse 18. In hope against hope, speaking of Abraham, he believed so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which had been spoken. So shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. You see, today, if there's any reminder, any encouragement, that if there is anything in our lives, and I can only speak to how God is speaking to mine, where there is brokenness, hope remains for healing. Where there is weakness, hope remains for strength. Where today, as we look unto the Lord, there is disunity, disharmony, discord, or dysfunction, there is hope in Christ for wholeness. That in him today, if we look back, and I love how, as we just read it, notice what Paul wrote in Romans 15. He said this, that through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. That today we might look back at the wealth that we have of the testimony of God, see all that he's done, and apply it to all that today he is doing. It's a great reminder on this day of prayer, and especially as we remember in this season the persecuted church. And as Paul wrote in his writings, you know, crushed but not down, beaten but not abandoned, never destroyed. Why? Because his hope was firmly fixed on a God whom he knew, though perhaps imprisoned, beaten, hurt, rejected, insulted, God was still there. This God was about his purpose. This God was still moving. This God was still proclaiming his name. This God, though circumstances seemed devastating as they were, had never left him nor would forsake him. Today, do we have hope? Or do we often fall in the being conformed to this world and simply feel hopeless? When we do, and I'm seeing in my heart, and there's often times when I feel ready to toss in the towel. The sin is too great. The hurdle is too high. The obstacle, too grand. Hopeless. And yet I read God's word. I'm reminded of who he is, what he's done, and what he's doing. And I hear these words: do not be conformed to this world, not hopeless. For today you have a God in which you can remain hopeful. There's a story that stands out to me in Scripture again and again that I love going back, and that is the story of Caleb, a man whose name literally meant dog. But a man, whether he was a dog or not, followed and as spies going into the land, along with Joshua. And remember, as they spied that out, they all came back, and when all the spies said, the giants are too big, the walls are too great, we cannot go in. It was only Joshua and Caleb that said, no, our God promised it, and our God will grant it. Let's go. They wouldn't go. And for the next 40 years in disobedience, they would circle in the dryness of the desert. But you know what I love? Not just the conviction that Caleb and Joshua would stand firm amidst the rejection of the other spies, and in fact, the rejection of the rest of all the people. They remained firm in their conviction of what God would do and what God could do if only they had faith. What stands out in my mind is in the book of Joshua in chapter 14, when they've gone into the land. Listen to what it says in Joshua 14 and verse 1. It says this: now these are the areas the Israelites received as an inheritance in the land of Canaan. They had defeated the Canaanites, they had defeated the Amalekites, and now they were dividing the land. The walls of Jericho had fallen. It then said this: their inheritance were assigned by lot. Joshua 14 verse 5 says this: the Israelites divided the land just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua and Gilgal and Caleb son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. Do you notice? Here's Caleb. I went out, I spied, and they may have given a different report, but here was mine. I gave a report according to my what? Conviction. His report was, let's go in because God is big enough. God will do it. Verse 8, Joshua chapter 14. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Verse 10. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive 45 years since the time he said this to Moses. While Israel moved about in the desert, so here I am today, 85 years old. Now listen to his next words. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out and do battle now as I was then. Now give me the hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Amalekites were in and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. Isn't that great? What did you notice? After 45 years, as an 85-year-old, had Caleb lost an ounce of faith? Jericho had fallen. They're dividing the land, and you can think there's probably this place, that place that's got a view, a place that's nice over here, a place with no enemies over there. Here's Caleb. Don't give me the easy stuff. I want the hill country with the giants that I saw when I told you God would give it to me. I'm as strong today as I was then. Had he lost any hope in his God? No. To me, that's amazing. When at any point, after watching a generation fall circling in the desert, there may well have been the feeling of what? Hopeless. Are we ever going to get in? No, here's Caleb. When I go in, I'm going right back to the giants that God said he was going to defeat, and I'm going to defeat them just like God said he would. Why? Because God hasn't changed. I may be older. A generation may have gone. A new generation grown up. But today I know my God, and my hope is in him. So many opportunities to become hopeless, despair, and be despairing. And yet today, when we look back at who God has been, we can only apply it forward and know that the same God is who he is and always will be today. Today, are we hopeless or hopeful? So many encouragements. Familiar verses, Isaiah 40, verse 29. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength and will run and not grow weary. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will walk and not be faint. He says this in Jeremiah 29, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me, and when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity." Today, have you lost hope? Have you lost sight of who he is in the midst of all the destruction, all the despair, all the brokenness, all the hurt, all the lack? Because in it, there is a living God. And today, nothing new, but only a reminder of what's true. It's this: that today we have opportunity not to be hopeless, but hopeful in this living, holy God who today has us in his hand. If only we would walk with him, and as he holds us, hold on to him and see his salvation. His mercies are new every morning. And I say this not because I am victorious in every way, in every place, but I've not lost hope in the God of victory, in the God of strength, in the God who provides light in the darkness. And today we walk in him and before him in all things, and we hold all things unto him. Let's pray, and then we're going to share in communion together. Lord, thank you. Thank you that today, while so much around us can drive us to despair, we need not lose hope. Even a people, the Gentiles, once seen as godless, and God came and said, "I will make a people who are not my people, my people." Hope to those who had none. Thank you that today that we need not conform our minds to fall, but we might today grab hold of you and all that you've grabbed hold of us, that today we might remain hopeful, just as we have turned away from selfish to be selfless, to be givers, not takers. To be lovers, not haters. thank you that today and each day is a new day. And I pray that in the depth of our hearts, we would remember each step, each moment by moment, we hold to the light of your gospel, that in obedience we might walk, knowing your strength, knowing your life, and knowing your love. Thank you for all that you are. And in Jesus' name we praise you. Amen.